Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and yes, even foes in the family, welcome to the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service number 2, a memorial prayer devotional evangelistic service. And in light of what God has led me to emphasize, especially for those people who name the name of Christ, that Christian families need to get back to family church, is what the old saints used to call it, everyday church at home. Some call it family devotion, some call it family altar, where you ought to go and confess your sins and repent at the altar at home. By the way, there have been some Christians who have an altar at home. They have a little chapel in their own home. And if God has blessed you with a house that can hold a little chapel where you all meet every day, that's a beautiful thing. Some of you have the money to do that. I know one Christian basketball player, I think he is a basketball player. He built his church almost looking like a, built his house almost looking like a church. It was, and you walk into the living room, looks like a cathedral. On the outside, it looks like a cathedral. And so he's a serious Christian. So if you can create a prayer room, a chapel room, I know of a church in mid-Texas. They have a prayer room with a door that faces outside. It's kind of off from the church that people can go in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to pray. Maybe your church ought to do that as well. But Christian families need to get back to prayer and reading the Bible, and yes, singing a song of Zion like we just sung, the doxology of Gloria Patri, short hymns. And single people who claim to be Christians need to go back to praying and reading the Bible, having personal devotions. And if you struggle with that as a single person, and you will, most of you will. Now, there are some male and female Christian prayer warriors. They don't need anybody. They're not gregarious. Not introverted. They don't need anybody. They're wired a different way, and they're disciplined, and they will pray, and that's fine. But those of you who struggle with praying in the morning, you find it frightening, you find it difficult, and you forget, or you go to sleep, you are welcome to join us live every day or on demand. Thank God for podcasting. Thank God for Alexa. Thank God for your little Google. You can just pull it up, and you can have devotions at any time of the day. You don't have to be here with us live. We thank God for all of the people who have taken us up on that, and we have honored you by allowing you to become an honorary member of the White family. We thank God for you. And since ever since I gave that invitation, all of our devotional podcasts and so forth has shot up to the top, whereas before that was not the case. We do right at 50 podcasts around here, and they were probably mid-range, but now they hover at the top now. And we thank God for you. But whatever it takes, whatever floats your boat, whatever gets the job done. You pray in the morning and you read the Bible, whenever your morning is. Dr. John Gill said it is proper to instruct children in the necessity of faith in God and in Christ. Pardon me. And of the use of prayer, and to lay before them the sinfulness of sin, and show them what an evil thing it is, and what are the sad consequences of it. To teach them their miserable estate by nature, and the way of recovery and salvation and peace and joy and blessing by Jesus Christ. And to learn, this is old-fashioned way they used to say it, and to learn them from childhood to read and know the Holy Scriptures according to their capacity, and by these to be admonished of sin and of their duty to fear God and keep His commandments. Join me in praying for all families. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the families of people who have not even heard the gospel. And Lord, open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, help them to hear the gospel, to read the gospel. And Lord, have your Holy Ghost to convict them of sin. And Lord, do that thing that A.W. Tozer told us about, that mysterious miracle thing you do in the hearts of people. And we pray that you'll grant families by the millions household salvation, so that they can be saved from the hell that they will go to if they don't repent and trust you as Savior. Holy Father God, I pray for all families who claim to name your name as their Savior. And Lord, I pray that you would have mercy and grace upon us all. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins. Help us to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent of our sins, and to get back to you, Lord Jesus Christ, our first love. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would have mercy and grace upon us and forgive us of our sins in the church. For not obeying your great commandment and your great commission. For we have failed you, pursuing other foolishness and disobeying your holy word and your clear will. And Lord, we pray that you would raise up laborers into the field, into this country, to reach the whited harvest fields. Sad to say, some people need to be reached in the church because they're not even saved. God have mercy. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Join me, my dear friends, in praying a prayer that I like. If you don't feel led to pray it, don't. But just remember my saying that whatever prayer you pray what you mean, and you mean what you pray. And if you allow yourself to get distracted or the devil distracts you, you go back and pray what you mean, and mean what you pray. The common prayer, Almighty and Most Merciful Father. Now this is the new common prayer. I have updated it. Let's start all over. Everybody pray as the Lord may lead you. Almighty and Most Merciful Father, we have sinned and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have offended you. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no peace and joy in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou us, O God, who confess our sins, our faults, and our failures. Restore those of us who confess our sins and repent, according to thy promises declared unto us in Christ Jesus our Lord, and grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, in the family verses. And I'm going to try to read it without comment this go around. That is all of Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, dealing with the family verses. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in every thing. I believe with all of my heart that the biggest problem in marriages today, because of lying pastors' wives, lying prophets, lying evangelists, whose families are all twisted up and messed up, they have twisted the word of God. They have not twisted the word of God on anything else. But many of these people have twisted the word of God to fit the mess they have in their own homes. And these people have literally, in a sense, taken out of the Bible these words regarding the wife submitting to her husband. They make fun of it. They joke about it. But they forget the reason why we're in the mess we're in this world is because Adam hearkened to the voice of his wife and not to God. And your marriage, your family, you hear me well, will never be what it should be. And quite frankly, your marriage and family is a joke to the devil if you take out these verses and you don't, the wife does not obey these verses, because it discombobulates and disrupts every other aspect of the family. Obviously, the husband, if he's letting his wife disrespect him, disobey him, not submit to him, not line up under his authority, not subject herself to him, and she can just say whatever she wants, whenever she wants to say it, any kind of way, in front of the children, he is not obeying God. He is not hearkening to God's voice. So he's out of order. She's out of order. And the children going to be out of order because they don't see parents obeying God. And it is a mess. And what pastors have done, and some have done it with, you know, a loving heart, but they're wrong. What pastors have done and pastors' wives have done, they have tried to put a Band-Aid on these marriages. And instead of going to the root of the problem, primarily because of their own rebelliousness against God. See, some men think they're more loving. See, this is why there's some men I don't even want to talk to, because they're screwed up in their heads and in their minds. They're so effeminate and so weak, so controlled and dominated by their mother. Most of them have been raised by their mother only, or she was the dominant force in the family. And they not only have the men been beat down by pastors and pastors' wives and church leaders, but by the books they have read, by these same people, the government, most men in America are rendered powerless. They can't do anything. They can't say anything. It is disgusting. And when God's family, if the family is out of order, everything else is going to be out of order. Therein lies the problems we have, dear friends, in the church. Much of church work is a joke because the family is a joke. The family is out of order, the church is out of order, and pastors are doing all kinds of things to glue and to patch up families, to glue and to patch up the church, to keep the church in at least the appearance of doing something. Then the community is out of order. The state is out of order. The federal government is out of order. The world is out of order. And God is not pleased. All three of his institutions that he formed to benefit people, are totally out of order. There's no need to get mad at me like they got mad at Jeremiah because he spoke the truth. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you, listen, you can do what you want. You can do what you want. But you cannot rip out portions of the Bible to have your way. And do I expect you to repent and change? No. No, I don't. I don't know what God expects of you. I don't know. That's him. But I don't expect you to change at all. And just like the older white woman before I got married, Mrs. Steve Nutt told me, she said that if you let that woman who you're going to marry take the reins, you're not getting it back. And that, I believe that. And I believe that's the case in families today and in the church today. Women got the reins and they're not giving it back, Jack. They look at me like I'm crazy. And their husbands are so messed up in their mind, they don't even know whether they're a man or a puppy or a boy or what. They don't know what they are. And you say, well, you ought to try to help them. And all they're going to hear from me is what I'm telling them. I don't want to meet with them. I don't want to meet with no men groups. I don't want to meet with no man church, which I believe is nothing but an overcompensation of beating down men for years, taking their power away in the home. Now you're trying to attract them back to the church. But you ran them away by beating down on them and making them look like they were nothing to their wives and children. No wonder they don't want to come. And what are you going to talk about now? You know what you're going to talk about at man church? Complaining and whining about your marriage and your family. And then if you're going to continue on with the foolishness, little tricks. Here's a little trick for you, brother. When she tells you something that you don't agree with, here's what you do, brother. Yes, honey. This is what these pastors tell these people. Yes, honey. Yes, dear. Don't argue with her. Don't say nothing. You just do what she tells you to do. See, that way maybe you might be able to have sex once a month with her. Are you kidding me? I got 99 problems. That ain't one. That's ridiculous. It's so disgusting. And see, people are so messed. Men are messed up in their minds themselves. I don't even want to talk to them. I don't want to meet them. I don't want to do. I get invitations all the time. I don't want to do that. I don't want to even talk to you because you're going to ask me stupid questions. You're going to ask me stupid questions. I'm not going to answer them. I'm going to tell you it's a stupid question. You don't even know what you don't even know what you are. Well, what did she say? I don't have time, man. If you don't understand. You don't understand, son, this is a man's world. But I wouldn't want to be in it without a woman and a girl. That's James Brown for you. Mm-hmm. James understood it. We got men today who don't understand that. It's really God's world, but God put man in charge. And you need to get into your position. And she needs to get into hers. And if you get into your position real tight and right, she'll follow. She'll follow. She may kick and buck and all that. You let her kick and buck. That's all. You know. But you hold to. You don't stop trying to appease her. What's wrong, baby? What's wrong? Here you are trying to have a nice outing. You want to take the family on the trip. You turn right. Where you going? She get an attitude and all that. And you get all discombobulated. What's wrong, honey? What's the matter? Later for all that. Just do what you're going to do, man. Take the family on a ride. You go where you want to go. And she blow and roll her eyes. And you see, you turn the wrong way. You just tell her, you don't even know where I'm going. See, sometimes when you got a cantankerous wife, you just need to go ahead and do what you're going to do. And if she has any sense, she'll like it. The children will love it. Don't let her ruin the whole trip. I know what I'm talking about because I grew up in a house like that. My dad would, after Sunday church, he would like to take us on a trip for a ride. Just go riding out in the country. And my mother would blow and roll her eyes and criticize his driving and everything else. And because she was in charge, large and in charge, and he would get more concerned about appeasing her and making her happy, and it made the children miserable. So, you do as you please, people. The family is already shot to hell. The church, many churches are already shot with foolishness because the family is shot. And the city government is shot. Society is shot. America is shot. No, we're not great. We haven't been great for a long time. I told you that before this plague came. You didn't believe me. We'll never be great again until we quit our sin and obey God. And do what God has told us to do. Man, woman, and child. Let's pray. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Let's pray for others as the Lord may lead you. Holy Father God, we pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all people who name the name of Christ. Help all of us to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to repent and to turn from our wicked ways and get back to you, our first love. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all people who are in the ministry of government. We pray, Lord, that you would save their souls. And we pray for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material, protection and provision, blessings upon all people in government, in this country and around the globe. We pray that you lead, guide, and direct them, that we may lead peaceful and quiet lives. Lord, help us to do our part as your people. And you have commanded us to pray for them regardless of who they might be. We also pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of foolishness out of the hearts and lives of people who are in government and even in the church. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would protect and provide for and grant grace in their trying hours and even in their dying hours, if that is your will, for those who are being persecuted in Iran, persecuted in China, persecuted in Nigeria and in the Philippines and other places. Holy Father God, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the salvation for all lost souls in this country and around the globe and in the media. For all the states, we pray, Lord, for the revival of everybody who is saved in this country, around the globe, and in the media, for all the states. And Lord God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would indeed heal those who are sick, those who name the name of Christ, who say that they are saved. Help them to call for the elders of the church and to repent of their sins and to be transparent and honest about their sins before you and before the elders of the church and repent so that they can be healed and raised up. We pray for the salvation of the lost and we pray for their healing as well. We pray, Holy Father God, for all of the people who are grieving because of deceased loved ones. And we pray, and some have multiple family members who are gone. And Lord, we pray that you would comfort them as only you can, Lord Jesus Christ. Draw them to yourself for salvation and for comfort. Draw them to your Holy Scriptures for salvation and for comfort. And Lord, we pray for some by name, but Lord, we pray for millions. We include in this prayer, and we thank you, Holy Father God Almighty, because you are omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. Lord, we can pray for all of these millions of people, and you know them all by name. And you know the number of hairs on their head. So, Lord, Lord, we couldn't even name the people, all of them. But we will name a few and call them out by name. But, Lord, we do pray for these same blessings to rest upon the millions of family members and friends who are hurting today. And Lord, thank you for giving us a mind to do what America used to do very well, and that is to remember the dead, to honor the dead, because they did pass this way before us, and many of them did great things and made great contributions. And yet, Lord, this country that used to do well in honoring the dead and remembering the dead, particularly in a crisis situation like that, we have failed the dead this time around for the first time in my memory. And so, Lord, we pray for these people and their family members. We pray for the family and friends of New Jersey Transit Conductor Johansson. We pray for the family and friends of Colorado student Cody Leister. We pray for the family and friends of New Hampshire resident Joanne Melody. We pray for the family and friends of New York healthcare worker Priya Nakishore. We pray for the family and friends of Michigan veteran Larry Rothgib. We pray for the family and friends of Michigan Fire Captain Franklin Williams. Lord, we pray for the family and friends of Virginia coach Peter Amatis. We pray for the family and friends of New Jersey restaurant owner Aldo Bazzarelli. We pray for the family and friends of California actor Jay Benedict. We pray for the family and friends of Florida police officer Shannon Bennett. And Holy Father God, we commit these souls into your hands and their family members, and we commit our souls into your hands as well. Let your will be done in all of our lives. And Lord, help us to be reminded today that your holy word tells us, and we know by experience, no matter how proud we think we are, no matter how arrogant we think we are, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And Lord, we must go this way too. And so Lord, help us to be humble and to be thankful for the lives of these people. And Lord, not that we're searching for it. Hopefully somebody will remember us when we die and we pass away. And somebody would pray for our families, our family members and friends when we leave this earth, because we're going to leave this earth too. Lord, it's just, Holy Father God, I would imagine you chuckle at it, because we're so arrogant and we're so proud. We can see people dying all around us, and we somehow strangely think it will never be us. God, help us to be meek and lowly in mind like you. Help us, Lord, to be humble and broken before you. Help us to realize, Lord, that one day we must pass this way as well. And then, Holy Father God, we pray for all of the people who have sent in prayer requests. Hear and answer their prayers, and hear and answer our prayers. And we pray for every last one of them, into the thousands of people who have sent in prayer requests. Lord, we're going to name just a few by name. Lord, you know who they are, every last one of them. And you know their prayer requests. And Lord, we pray that you would hear and answer their prayers, and hear and answer our prayers for them. We pray that you would protect them from the coronavirus plague. We pray that you would grant them salvation, family, household salvation, spiritual spiritual blessings, family life blessings, financial material blessings, protection and provision blessings as well. And Holy Father God, those who are in training in high school and college and so forth, Lord, give everybody an eagerness to learn the material, to do something with the material, and not just to pass a test. Lord God in heaven, we pray, Lord, for all of these people, and we pray your blessings upon them, and we pray for these people by name and their requests. We pray for a new prayer request from Brother Matthew. Please heal his girlfriend Kimberly from all illnesses. We pray for another new prayer request, Bahima. Bahima, please bless him with donations for his ministry and work. And Lord, here's another new prayer request that we've just received. We pray for Ravi. Please bless Ravi with the money he needs for the orphans and elderly people in India this Christmas. We pray for Umesh. Please bless the Orissa Missionary Movement and independent and indigenous ministries. We pray for Pastor Bushibi. Please provide them with Bibles, Christian literature, for soul winning, a library, support for orphans and widows, bikes, and better transportation. For the pastors, a Bible school building program, a building for the evangelistic meetings, and poverty eradication program. We pray for Nakia. Please protect her from going to jail again and save her fiance and have them to get married if that is your will. We pray for Betty. Give her hope after the death of her husband and her son. Help her to wait on you and trust in you. Provide for her needs. We pray for Brenda for healing of a drug addiction, for her daughter who has 6 children, 4 which Brenda has custody of. We pray for protection and guidance for them and protect them from the coronavirus plague. We pray for Rachel for blessing and protection to be upon their church and ministry, as well as her and her husband as they strive to minister. We pray for Sylvia. Give her strength amid her mother's terminal illness. And now, Lord, we pray for those who have believed in you, Lord Jesus Christ, through the preaching of the gospel through this ministry. We pray for millions to hear the gospel through this ministry around the world and be saved. We pray for millions more to be saved through other ministries and churches around the world. We pray for O, we pray for Matt, we pray for OY, we pray for Yo, we pray for Is, and we pray for Nia Kunde. We pray that you'll help them all to grow in the faith and to be the strong Christians they should be. And Holy Father God, we pray also for the same blessings that we prayed for the people who made prayer requests, that, Lord, you would protect them from the coronavirus plague. Hear and answer their prayers and bless them, Lord, all. Not only these, but those who have rededicated their life to you. Bless them with family, household salvation, and family and life blessings, spiritual blessings, physical blessings, protection and provision blessings, financial and material blessings. And we pray for the millions of people who do not have food security and do not have housing security because of the plague. We pray also, Lord, today for Myung Gesell, we pray for Yak, we pray, Lord, for Hip, we pray for Bill, we pray for Sam, we pray for Sharon, we pray for Maggie as well. And Lord, help these all to stand strong in the faith and to grow in the faith. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake, amen. And we, at this point, our devotional reading is Intercessory Prayer, Part 1, by Dr. Oswald Chambers. Luke 18:1, one of my favorite verses, says, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." You cannot truly intercede through prayer if you do not believe in the reality of redemption. Instead, you will simply be turning intercession into useless sympathy for others. And this is so true, which will serve only to increase the contentment they have for remaining out of touch with God. True intercession involves bringing the person or the circumstance that seems to be crashing in on you before God until you are changed by his attitude toward that person or circumstance. Intercession means to fill up with what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. And this is precisely why there are so few intercessors. Wow. People describe intercession by saying it is putting yourself in someone else's place. That is not true. Intercession is putting yourself in God's place It is having his mind and his perspective. And that's what Dr. Oswald Chambers said. Now, I would not say that, make that last statement. I don't think we can, anybody can put themselves in God's place, but I understand what he's saying. He wants us to be concerned about people like God is concerned about people, not doing it, interceding in prayer from our own perspective or from the person's perspective that we're praying for. And what he's dealing with and what he's trying to get across is not from a human perspective. God wants us to pray for people from God's perspective and what God wants done in that person's life. Otherwise, as he said, it just gets down into a pity party thing and feeling sorry for people and that kind of thing. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for all that you have allowed us to accomplish this morning, even before this time, some things that we had to take care of. We thank you for helping us to do that. And we thank you, Lord, also for the prayer service earlier today that has fed these two services to be what they have been. For without you, they would not be worth anything. But because of your might and your power, in spite of ourselves, Lord, you have done some wonderful work in our hearts, our minds, our spirits, I know in mine. And I marvel at it, considering all that has happened today. I just marvel, and I marvel every day. And you have shown me that whatever the case, just get started. Just put you first, pray to you, open your word, start reading it, and keep on praying to you, and you will make it, and you will have it all to come to pass. I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and I pray now, fresh and anew, that you'll grant me your energy, your strength, your unction, and your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy gospel once again. In this service, we pray that millions would hear your holy gospel mixed with your Holy Ghost and with faith and be saved even today. For we know that you're not willing that any should perish and that all should come to repentance. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you're with us today and you do not and you have never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, allow me to show you how you can very simply and yes, very easily put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation from the power and the pain of sin and from the punishment and from the penalty of sin. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. We all have. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Please understand, no matter how hard you try, we've already sinned. You can give $2 million like Michael Jordan did the other day to feed the hungry. That will not save Michael Jordan's soul. Hopefully he's already a believer in Jesus Christ. We don't know. But the only thing that would save Michael Jordan's soul is belief and faith in Jesus Christ. Not giving the $2 million, that's a good thing to do, but that will not get him into heaven. It won't get you into heaven. No matter how much good work you do, no matter what you do for the church, no matter how many people you help, no matter how hard you try, we all have failed God already. We have already sinned against Him, and we haven't missed His mark, and we have not risen to His standard of holiness and righteousness. Some say that some go and get closer than others. I doubt it, because one sin will keep you out of heaven. One sin violates God's law. And so, second, please understand and accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin in your life and in mine. The Holy Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." In other words, the payment for sin is death. The paycheck that you're going to get at the end of your life is death. The truth of the matter is, we're all on death row. One day your body, I know you don't think so, your body will be put in a casket and lowered in a dark, cold hole. Your soul will be in hell before you even get buried, if you have never truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not talking about church membership. That does not matter, and that does not count. We're not talking about getting baptized. That does not matter. That does not count. We're not talking about the good things you have done for the church. That does not matter. That does not count. In order to go to heaven, you must simply believe in your heart in Jesus Christ. Believe the gospel that He suffered, He bled, and He died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. He paid your sin debt. Otherwise, less than 1 second after you die, you will lift up your eyes in the torments of hell if you don't believe in Jesus Christ in this life. There's no second chance in hell. There's no purgatory. There's no such thing as purgatory. That's a made-up thing back in medieval times by the Catholic Church. There's no limbo. There's no in-between. Nobody can bail you out. Nobody can pray you out. Nobody can pay you out. There's no parole when it comes down to hell. And so please understand that you're, thirdly, accept the fact that you're on the road to hell right now. We all have sinned enough already. We don't have the sin anymore. But you say, "I'm a good guy. I'm a good gal." Well, we all would like to think we are, but we're not. If we were good, we would not sin against God. We would not think evil of others. We would not be racist and prejudiced and proud and arrogant and mean and hateful and selfish. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, by the way, He preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Before you die, you need to read every passage that Jesus Christ preached on regarding hell in the Bible. He's the main reason why I believe that there's a literal burning hell, because He said so. Yes, Jesus Christ, the meek and lowly, loving one, preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible, and preached more on hell more than most preachers preach on it today. He described hell as a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. He described hell as a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He said in this sermon, in Matthew 18:8, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. it is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Hell is a very real place, my dear friend. Everlasting fire. And nearly every time he preached on hell, he mentioned eternal fire, everlasting fire. Hell is a very real place. Hell is a very bad place. And you need to avoid going there. And you can, because Jesus Christ said these words in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life, that is, in heaven with God and with Jesus. So in order to be saved from hell and to be saved to heaven, dear friend, you need to follow the simple instructions of Jesus Christ. This is not hard. This is not difficult. In fact, God made it easy for us. It was hard for God and it was hard for Jesus Christ. But he made it easy for us. He made it so easy that we could not possibly mess it up. His simple instructions are, whosoever. These are the words of Jesus. The word whosoever means anybody at any time. Believeth. The word believeth simply means have faith in, trust in, have trust in, rely on, depend on. Whosoever believeth in him. He was talking about himself. His name is Jesus Christ. That person should not perish, will not perish, but have everlasting life in heaven. It is as simple as that. It makes no difference whether or not you have family members in the church, your mother is a member of the church, your father is a member of the church, and you're a member of the church. None of that matters. He didn't talk about that. He didn't say you needed to be in a church to get saved. All he said was, whosoever believeth in me should not perish, but have everlasting life. He didn't say to do anything else but believe in him. And so, dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God. That's it. And pray and ask him to save your soul. For the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on his name. Believe in your heart in Jesus Christ. Follow me in what is called the sinner's prayer. As you believe, very simply, in Jesus Christ in your heart, you follow the simple instructions of Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and he rose on the third day by the power of God. Follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase, and be sincere. Mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have sinned against you. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in you, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe with all of my heart, Lord Jesus, that you suffered, you bled, and you died on the cross for my sins. That you were buried and that you rose on the third day by the power of God. Lord Jesus Christ, Please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my wretched soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of all of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you from now on in the new life, Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ today and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart and you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life. And that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com. Please read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. It is free of charge, a free download. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you to grow in the faith and be the child of God, to be the Christian disciple that God wants you to be. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.